Good morning and welcome to Psychic Babes. I'm your host, Kirsten Sandifer.
And I am your co-host, Ashley Romano.
And we are coming to you live today from Commis, Utah, which for those of you who aren't Utahians, we are up, right up in the mountains by close to Park City. So it's very beautiful up here and we are sitting out in nature today, so we thought it would be a good idea to
record our podcast out here.
So if you happen to hear any weird noises, you know, cows, chickens, and such.
Some horses.
Ashley dogs. has lots of animals here.
So. Animal farm over here.
Anyway, so jumping right in, for those of you who have listened to the last podcast, we wanted to sort of create more of a structured, more of a structure to what we're doing. And because we're very big proponents and that we'd like to show proof of things, not just our ideas about
and stories, but kind of the scientific background and evidence that goes behind, like, the stories. Like, basically breaking things down to the subatomic level and the mind. Exactly. And connecting these two.
Because we believe it's very important for people to, in order for them to understand this, they have to sort of believe in it. And, faith isn't kind of enough when it comes to this stuff. It's, you have to have faith in yourself, but you also have to have some sort of proof. And we've come a long way in the last, 5 years, even 10 years. If you think about being deemed a psychic 10 years ago was, wasn't dangerous like it was back in the, in the olden days where when the witch trials happened. But it's still sort of some people would look at you sideways. But now it's more readily acceptable, and healers and light workers are getting the respect and recognition they deserve. So We would just want to make sure that you guys understand some of this, some of the things that we're talking about might be very confusing at first, but just hang in there because we'll definitely be going over different things in different ways so that you can understand them. And as always, if you have any questions, feel free to comment. Send us an email if you want us to, talk about something in specific, in one of the next podcasts. We'll be happy to do so. And please do go on iTunes or Spotify and like our podcast and subscribe to it. All right.
Awesome. Let's jump into it.
So today we are going to be talking about a pretty heady topic. It's quantum theory. And how it relates to psychic phenomenon. And so for those of you who aren't familiar with quantum theory, it is a very difficult subject. Math is not my strong suit. It's more of Ashley's. But I really tried to break it down, so that everybody could understand it, because it took me a minute to fully get it. And I still don't think I get it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still don't even think physicists that work on it every day get it all.
Yeah, no, because it's basically going from, like, classical science to quantum theory and quantum mechanics. It's kind of, quantum mechanics is almost delving into spirituality, where it has to do with, like, if you believe something, then you're going to see the results of it. And so it's basically quantum theory is going in and, like, explaining and, like, proving that things aren't quite as they seem. And just through the different experiments and that, like, observation can direct the flow of a particle and all these different things. And it's kind of just, just expressing that there's more to reality than what meets the eye. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that the mind plays a major role in reality, and even breaking things down to the subatomic level.
So jumping right in, quantum theory, what is it? Well, quantum theory is used in two different ways. People call it quantum physics or quantum mechanics, but it's one of the two major planks of modern physics, along with general relativity, which was developed by Einstein. And between the two theories, they claim to explain virtually everything about the universe. So general relativity gives us our picture of the very big, space and time and gravity.
And things are continuistic linear. And deterministic and kind of almost as it relates to humans being creatures of habit and things are, there's a certain pattern, and because something happened one way in one place, then it happened that way in another place. And that's kind of like the broad sort of simplified explanation of it.
Okay, so yeah, like exactly what Ash said. And then quantum theory gives us our picture of the very small, so subatomic particles, atoms, and their constituents. So what is quantum entanglement? I'm sure you guys have heard that used several times. Quantum entanglement is actually so interesting. It's a quantum mechanical phenomenon in which the quantum states of two or more objects have to be described with reference to each other, even though the individual objects may be spatially separated by space and time. So what does that actually mean? It means that if Ashley was 100,000 miles away from me, mm-hmm. we still could
influence each other.
Yes, on a quantum level.
Mm-hmm. Because we are connected. And so say if she had something terrible happen and I had no idea that something happened, but maybe I felt a shift in my behavior, how I felt during the day, and then it kind of would click like, oh, something happened. And they've also done studies like this, like the Global Consciousness Project, and kind of where there, when something major happens, like people are all affected on like a large scale. And like, even if somebody isn't aware of that thing happening, like they still feel the feel like something's off, or because it's, yeah, we are all connected.
Yeah. So to give you a little history on how it was developed, like, let's first talk about, you know, the pioneers of this. So Anders Jonas Engström, which in 1853, he observed that atoms, as they were heated up, they emitted light, but not just as a diffuse blurred smear, but in distinct and separate bands of color. So that was a big thing in and of itself, because people thought that you would, you know, just see a blurred smear of them all together. So each element produced its own spectral pattern. So it's kind of like a fingerprint. And this had always been beyond beyond the explanatory powers of classical physics, but Bohr, another physicist, he revealed that an electron jumps from one state to another when it's heated up. So this explains why the light, when light was emitted, the distinct bands of color were visible, because electrons that have specific energy levels, they change their quantum states based on their elements. So, for example, an electron moving from the third orbit of an atom to the second orbit emits a red light, while one that moves from the fourth to a second creates a blue-green light, or fifth to second, a violet light, etc. You guys don't really need to know all of that, but I'm just trying to maybe get you back to, you know, high school physics, so you can kind of understand where the basis from this comes from. So this arrangement of electrons within atoms has a couple of useful applications. Because it's very structured, atoms and solids are very structured, the energy levels of electrons combine to form these continuous energy bands, known as valence bands. The band structure of a material has a few characteristics that are important. In particular, the material's electronic and its optical properties are, like, some materials have very close or some are even overlapping bands, so that electrons can easily move between them, which makes them good conductors of electricity, right? So other materials that have very large band gaps makes them good insulators instead of good conductors. So the early stepping stone towards, you know, a new type of physics, which is what we know as quantum theory or quantum mechanics, were gradually falling into place back then. So it was pretty clear that that an essential element of it was the concept of light, and all radiation and all matter for that purpose, that were composed of these discrete quanta or particles, so subatomic particles. And it had already been demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that the light was in fact a wave versus a particle, right? So Thomas Young did an experiment, lots of experiments with this, what's called the double slit, which, and you'll probably hear that quite a few times spoken by Ashley and myself. But what the double slit did is, I'll let Ashley kind of explain that because it's, I think she does a better job of explaining the double slit experiment than I do.
Okay, so just simplified, and what I see like the most important things to take away from what they found with the double slit experiment is that when it has to do with wave particle duality, and so a particle, it can exist in just a particle or it can exist as a wave, and kind of just the realization that observation affects the movement of particles. So when not observed, these particles, it's just a free flow. There's no rhyme or reason to where they're going. But under observation, then there's more of like a deterministic path of where these particles are going. And that can connect to how our minds are actually kind of
influencing.
Yeah, able to influence not only just other minds, but also energy and matter, like taken down to the subatomic level, and that even like our expectations will come into play. And if we expect that something will go in one direction, it's more likely that will happen. And it's kind of like even relating this to kind of just psychology and how things work, and having higher expectations, positive thinking will create a better likelihood of things going as expected. And
what's kind of interesting, I thought, and I don't know if Ashley will agree with me, but up until the double slit experiment, people thought that matter was was just either waves or particles, never both. That was the first time that they discovered that the presence of an observer changed it to be a particle or a wave or both. So that was a huge deal, and that was the beginning of the 19th century. And the characteristics, property of waves, he was even able to determine the wavelength, the actual wavelength of it, which established that it was less than a thousandth of a millimeter. This had seemed at the time to settle the dispute, which had been raging from the 17th century beyond, many people favored the wave theory of light. And then there's others like Isaac Newton who favored, a particle theory of light. And these people were very, very stuck in, in their ways, and they believed 100%, and neither was wrong at the time. And this sort of was a way to, prove that everybody was kind of right, in their own way. So these developments by Einstein and Bohr in the early decades of the 20th century meant that physicists had to come to the terms with the idea that light was both a wave and a particle, and that sometimes it would behave like a wave and sometimes it behaved like a particle, which is an idea that became known as wave-particle duality. So in an absolute sense, then, light isn't a particle and it's not a wave, but it only exhibits a wave or particle properties depending on the experiment being performed, so, or what you give attention to. Mm-hmm. So discovering that in the lab was a big thing because it really acted in proportion to the way that if what you believe or what you perceive based on the appearance of the observer is possible, what the mind believes. So it means that everything in this entire universe is a huge vibrating ball of interconnected infinite energy, which has the ability to communicate into infinity with no regard to space and time. And that's what this energy joins together to form, is it's based on individual thought. So another experiment besides the double slit experiment was the delayed choice experiment. And what that basically said was what happens in the present can change what's happened in the past. If that makes any sense to anybody, it didn't to me at first, but basically the presence of an observer can change what's happened in the past. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Actually. Okay.
And
just a personal example for this one. When you meet somebody and you automatically, it just feels like you've known the person forever, and it's just like, wow, like it's so comfortable. And then down the road, you find like out that you and this person are still best friends and you get along, and that is kind of a strange way of explaining this. And like, just because of something that happened in the future, which would be like, I guess, the present time, that influenced the past. And that's why you felt that comfort with that person immediately.
Yep. And there's been a number of amazing studies done by Dean Radin, which you guys will probably hear me refer to him a lot. He's one of my favorite authors. He has many, many books out, but the best one is The Noetic Universe, The Scientific Evidence for Psychic Phenomenon. So by Dean Radin. So you guys should pick that up because it explains all of this very, very well. But he also goes into the skeptics in what they think and addresses that. So it's a very unbiased book, and I think a lot of you will get a lot from that. But another experiment that they did, and this one blew me away, but the U.S. Army conducted, you know, experiments through the work of a scientist named Clive Baxter, and has since validated this more recent discovery by taking a DNA sample from a man's mouth. They manipulated his emotions through various visual productions on TV. While observing the DNA with sophisticated equipment, they discovered that the DNA responded and reacted immediately to the emotions of the man who it was taken from without any regard to space and time. So they took his DNA and then manipulated that, and then they were able to see that the DNA responded to his emotions without it even being there. So I don't know that. I don't know if that, Ashley, you think that's as crazy as I do, but it's proof in the pudding, like, you know, that this.
And almost even how that relates to like quantum entanglement and being able to like groups of people that are very connected are able to sort of influence them when they're together, but also when they're not physically together, and even like thinking about each other and. Just because they're so connected, and kind of also how like the people you surround yourself with, like you'll pick up some of their traits, they'll pick up some of yours, and kind of breaking that down to like the biological level and genetics. And I think that makes perfect sense. And it's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, it definitely is. I know myself, and Ashley can probably tell you too, but familiarizing myself with quantum physics played a major role in enabling me to better understand why, how and why things happened to me, and, you know, why various lessons in life that I had to learn, and how I met, you know, how the people that are in my life now are in there for, you know, there for a reason, because your mind tends to weed out the people that aren't going to serve you anymore. You basically can't be around them because it doesn't allow, the universe doesn't allow it to work out that way. So, but what happened is reading a lot of this stuff, you know, on quantum theory, it resulted in a deeper and stronger belief or faith in my own personal ability to consciously create the events and conditions and circumstances in my life and not just be a victim to, you know, to chance or be a victim of, oh, well, that's just my luck, or, you know, because it's not. And you do determine your fate. You determine what your life is going to be. You're the architect of your own destiny. And I think the law of attraction is absolutely wonderful, but it falls short in explaining that you can absolutely, if you believe in it, manifest anything you want. But they left out one major principle, and that being you cannot be tied to a specific outcome. Because think about this. If the universe is trying to help, you know, make your dreams come true, let's say you want to fall in love, right? Well, let's say I want to fall in love with a specific person. Well, then it's like the universe is kind of going, okay, well, I've got to make all these things fit together. And that's just a lot to do because it's also based on somebody else's mind and thoughts and free will.
Exactly. So when they say that the root of suffering is attachment, and it's kind of like looking at if you're super attached to an individual being with you. So if you really like some guy, but he's dating other people, and you're so just attached to the outcome of you two being together, you're likely going to feel when this guy ends up going towards that potential of you two being together, and like you'll feel happier, and kind of relating this to quantum entanglement and feeling that, even if you're not physically together and you don't know. But then as soon as he goes and starts to date somebody else, you might start to feel some pain, or you might not feel good for some reason, but you're not sure. And then you later find out this happened. And so it's kind of all connected. And a lot of people say like, oh, like I can feel when, like my boyfriend cheated on me, like, and I had no idea, like it was just out of nowhere. And yeah, it's kind of like whatever we attach ourselves to, anytime that thing starts to go off that path, we're going to feel it, and we have to make adjustments or just release that attachment.
And this isn't just Ashley and myself and psychics. This is every one of you can do this. It is something that you need to work on. Just like if I wanted to become an amazing runner, I can't just, you know, go out there the first day and expect to, run 40 kilometers like nobody's business.
You could also use the mirror neurons and mind mimicry to potentially tap into somebody else that can do that, but then the physical body is going to probably lag a little bit. But that we'll talk about that in another episode.
We'll definitely go into mirror neurons in a separate episode, because that in and of itself will probably blow your guys' minds. I know amazing. A lot of this hasn't really been discussed in an open forum before, so... I think if a lot of you will kind of let us get past some of the hardcore scientific data, you're really going to be into this podcast and really going to be excited about understanding how to do this, because we really want to break it down for you so that each person feels empowered to be able to do this, to be better, to be happier.
And to encourage you guys to even seek knowledge and go and explore some of these things, because it's sort of a way. And in later episodes, we're going to start to tie these principles into the brain and how the mind works, and developing psychic abilities, and kind of going even deeper in how this relates to your personal life and and our experiences with it. So, because it's so fun, like it's really, really fun. So,
yeah. And, you know, for those of you younger, listeners, you know, really this is more fun than going out and drinking. And once you start doing something else, like once you start experimenting with this kind of stuff, you can't, like, your life changes. You can't go back. And you don't want to numb your mind with, you know, chemicals and stuff like that. You want to be sharp to be able to be a pure channel. So, anyway, so you guys are probably wondering, all right, this is great and all, Kirsten and Ash, but how does quantum physics truly work for us when we need it to? So, like, we need it to. So the first way is to have a profound event that takes place, introducing you to the interconnectedness of the universe. That was one for me when I kind of started going through my divorce. I had experience with it in the past, but that was one of the events. So kind of like a trauma or a profound event, I'd rather say. Second way is to be seekers of knowledge and not limit yourself in that pursuit. So be open to everything.
Exploring new things, stepping out of your comfort zone.
We encourage you to do that. We want to hear what your thoughts are. If you have a better way of thinking for it, that's absolutely wonderful. We want our readers to, our listeners to participate in this and to use their brains and to develop new ideas. I mean, because that's what it's all about, working together, collaboration. Ashley and I have been working together for about 6 months now, like, very seriously on this. And our powers and being able to do things when we're together are infinitely
our abilities more. Are, yeah. And it's also a thing, too, whatever we focus on, whether it's remote viewing and then we focus on remote influencing and then we try to focus on, like, astral projection and these different things, whatever we focus on at any given time, it's kind of like you're able to develop that. And this can essentially tie into the idea that where we direct our focus, our conscious focus, is where we direct our energy and what we develop within ourselves. So it's kind of like if you're focusing on a sport and getting really great at a sport, then you're putting your time and your effort and you're going to become better at that sport if you have the right attitude. And same with the whole ESP abilities and exploring this different sort of knowledge and
it's just like Ash, remember when we first started doing remote viewing?
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of principles and fundamentals to remote viewing that you have to follow and protocol. And we are both not really, we like to be pioneers and sort of create our own methods for things. But we both realize, okay, we have to get these fundamentals down and at least look at how people have done it in the past. So that we can, you know, practice mm-hmm. that way and then develop our own method at that point. So.
I will say it's a little bit different for me. I firmly believe that when you learn something from somebody else or you're kind of like these predisposed to these different methods, it almost takes away from the ability to innovate. So sometimes it's kind of like using your intuition and sometimes it's good to learn certain ways of doing things. But if you feel like I don't need to learn this and I'll just develop my own method in doing that, then go for that. It's kind of like just go with whatever feels right. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I do believe that there are some building blocks that you have to kind of at least explore when you get into this to at least see how other people do it and then develop your own method, you know, mm-hmm. because you have to have a little bit of training. I believe there are natural psychics that just don't have any training, completely self-taught, mm-hmm. but everybody that I've spoke to has always said they've always gone back and looked mm-hmm. at how, you know, people have done it in the past.
Yeah.
And just for reference, you know, to see how, you know, how their method relates. But I think that basically what everybody does is what's best for you, you know, mm-hmm. like whatever you do is going
to
be right for you.
And I kind of also like to look at, like looking at people like Leonardo da Vinci or like Einstein and Tesla, mostly Einstein, like how he didn't do well in school. He didn't pay attention. He didn't, he obviously wasn't very passionate about it. And afterwards, like he started to delve into these certain things and kind of created his own methods and ended up like coming up with the general theory of relativity and all these mm-hmm. different things. So that it goes to show that you don't always have to follow like a strict like way of doing things.
No,
and
not at all.
You can, if you don't feel driven or passionate or curious about learning a method of doing something or even learning a subject or a topic, then like that's probably because it's either not the right time or that's just not your thing. And so just going with what excites you, like that's really important.
So this is kind of a little off topic, but Ashley and I are also developing a method for children for learning that is going to be pretty innovative. And it's very simple, but that method is, as I've been able to use with my daughter and just seeing, because their kids are blank slates, you know, you don't have all these preconceived notions of what society it tells you to do or doesn't tell you to do. And, you know, so you don't have to go back and rewrite all that stuff and, or, mm-hmm. you know, get past it. So with kids, they're a pure channel. So you get to kind of start fresh. So I encourage you to be like a child when you're exploring this and to really open yourself up to not having any preconceived notion about anything and everything being a possibility mm-hmm. when you do it.
And that's kind of like the foundation of quantum theory and quantum mechanics, kind of that like you're like things aren't as they seem, like we said before, and that like a particle can be in two places at once and all these different things. And like, they're still trying to figure out like, okay, what else is there? Like quantum mechanics has only been able to be displayed on a small level. And what if that was able to be displayed on a larger level, like human level kind of.
Even the quantum computer that's right around the corner from happening. If it hasn't already been developed, you know, top secret information that we aren't privy to.
And even relating in like quantum computing to like the brain, like train the right way and develop the right way is more powerful than any supercomputer, just as the dolphin's cerebral cortex is more powerful than any man-made sonar. And kind of looking at the things that like computers can do now, and like the idea of quantum computing and photons and quantum cryptology and all these different things, and relating that to the human brain. If the human brain is developed the right way and trained, and if you explore these abilities, then you have the ability to do things at like this level and even more beyond that. So
yeah, exactly. I love what you said there.
Get curious, Ash. Get
excited. Yeah, exactly. Get curious, get excited. So another thing that helps, you know, to understand all this is to participate in meditation. Meditation has changed my life. I am not somebody who can sit down, and I don't have ADHD, but I definitely am just not a person that likes to sit down and be quiet for very long. I like to talk. I'll never forget in college, I went deer hunting with a boyfriend of mine at the time and his father. And his father kept saying to me, "Kirsten, if you don't be quiet, we're not going to be able to get any deer." And I couldn't shoot a deer anyway, so I was like, okay, blah blah blah. But but with this, meditation truly quiets your mind and all the chatter going on out there, because there's a lot of it, and especially
external noise that leads to less than optimal processing.
I mean, there's a reason why, you know, these monks that you know, are, they're in solitude all the time, and they do these things and meditate for hours, and they have these amazing abilities to heal and to do all that kind of stuff. There's something to that.
It's, you know, kind of just a sort of like a tool to be able to train your mind to be able to focus, to eliminate all distractions and really narrow your focus. And even relating this to being in a meditative state when you're going for a run or when you're working on something, it's basically just eliminating all of the external stimuli that acts as a distraction, and to put your like 100% of your focus on what you're doing. And meditation is a way, a really amazing way, just because it's quiet and you really get inside your own mind and like really channel that focus into whatever your meditation is geared towards, whether it's
And if you guys are wondering, because I was always like, what kind of meditations do I listen to? What's the best? And I have found truly, and this is not a plug because these guys don't sponsor us or anything, but eDosers has the absolute best binaural beats. And they have, oh my gosh, probably like 150 different kinds of them, for alpha waves, for astral projection, for, you know, and it's just, they're the best. They don't compress any of the files, because on YouTube compresses a lot of them. So you're not getting the true binaural beats, which were developed by shamans and things like that in the past. That's where the comes from, because that's a, I mean, yeah, it is. So, if you check out eDoser,
is it online or?
Yeah, it's an app, for the iPhone and for Android. It's iDoser. And those, I'm telling you guys, Ashley and I have had some crazy experiences.
Seriously, really weird experiences.
with those. They are unlike anything else I've experienced. So check those out. But another way is to be exposed. Ashley mentioned this earlier, to be exposed to someone who introduces you to the truth, and you step out of your routine and are able to produce some kind of measurable results in your life. So find a mentor. Find somebody who does this for a living. Most of us light workers, we tend to like to help people. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is ask, really, you know, unless...
Or even for those of you who aren't able to find a mentor, this works like 100%, just as like focusing and like learning about, say, Nikola Tesla, and you are able to sort of see things from his perspective and whatnot. But even focusing or reading books about, say, like spiritual people that you're drawn to, such as like Buddha,
Buddha, or like Patanjali, Mahatma Gandhi. All of those people, Archangel Michael, are great people to start to try and channel, because they're guides and they will help you and along your path. But we'll get into some of that stuff a little bit later too. But well, so what happens once you start to experiment with you know, psychic phenomenon and quantum entanglement and getting into all this is, it's really interesting with the brain. You start creating new neural pathways that did not exist before. So
it's kind of like stepping out of your comfort zone in the physical, in your physical reality, and like saying like it might be scary, but you're going to go here and go there, and you open yourself up to new experiences, new opportunities. And it's kind of the same thing with the brain, and kind of stepping out of your comfort zone and doing things a little like stepping out of your routine, even like mentally and cognitively, and yeah, you create new neural pathways. You can activate neurons that have been dormant.
Yeah, you also start using more of your cerebral cortex. So they've actually been able to determine that when you start experimenting with psychic phenomenon, you start to use more of your cerebral cortex, which is insane. I mean, I don't know if any of you have seen that movie, Lucy?
Lucy, yep. It's a good movie.
Yeah, definitely recommend it if you have not seen it. It's insane. But I believe that there's a kernel of truth to what that movie's about.
And definitely.
That's you know, your humans right now only use 10% of our brain. Dolphins use 20%.
I would say that's, I don't know if they necessarily know that for sure, like, that we only use 10% of our brain, but I think it's more so, relevant to the idea that humans are, creatures of habit, and we're stuck in the same routine where we wake up, we go to work, or we go to school and eat, blah, blah. So we're doing this like routine over and over and over again, where it becomes, almost automatic and almost, robotic in a way. But then, so then you step out of that routine, and like looking at like, geniuses in history, like Tesla and all these people, they would stay awake at night and then they would sleep during the day and work on these different things. And it's kind of, stepping out of that routine mentally and physically, like.
Yeah, no, definitely. I know myself, like I do better at night when I'm doing this stuff and when I'm writing and when I'm, you know, researching. I'm a night owl. And that's when a lot of the things tend to come to me, or weird things start happening. But I'm now able to, because I, you know, practice this a lot, I'm now able to channel and do stuff normally throughout the day without having to meditate. But, I mean, everybody's going to be different. Your brain also starts pattern matching. And this is something that's really... really interesting to me.
Very interesting.
Because your brain does all these automatic processes that you're not even aware about and are not even aware of before you, on each choice you make in your life. So say today, what will we have for lunch? Ash, are we going to, you know, go to Whole Foods to get some, to get a salad, or will we make something here? So our brain, just that goes, your brain through goes through so many permutations and algorithms to determine what is the best, you know, outcome
exactly
for you.
And that's also kind of why they say how when you meditate you get in touch with your subconscious mind, and that's sort of the deeper level of your mind, because throughout your waking day you're making conscious decisions that are based on these deeper like calculations and like programming on a subconscious, like unconscious level. And kind of just by like changing and like stepping out of the your normal routine and like habitual routine, and you start to get in tune with sort of the deeper levels of your mind and what goes into the decisions that you make, and you're able to perceive these different things.
Yeah, which, you start to be aware of the calculations that your brain kind of makes in decision making, and you analyze them all. It's funny because Ashley and I have actually sat there and tried to figure out the exact algorithms for what, you know, what goes into a decision, you know, that we're going to make for that day. But it's interesting. All this stuff becomes much easier the more you practice it. But one of the other great benefits is you start to be able to control your emotions. Mm-hmm. And this for females, no offense, guys, because, you know, I'm a woman, I get it. We are emotional creatures. But it is far, far, far more effective to be able to use and control those emotions when dealing with anything, love, work, you know, whatever, your kids, to be able to be in control of those. And the more that you meditate, experience psi phenomena, you are able to control it.
And it's just mind mastery and able to control your emotions and your conscious thoughts. And, it's just...
There's a program called Life Leap that I've... I don't know if I've talked about it on here yet or not, by Dale Sellers, that I am a big fan of his. He's an amazing man who has worked with the military in psi phenomenon and things like that. Check out his course on, it's called Life Leap. He teaches you how to control your emotions, and I have him to thank a lot for being able to, as well as Ashley, for being able to control my emotions throughout my throughout my divorce. Because if any of you would have seen me 8 months ago,
different person.
I was a little angry. So that's definitely a great benefit.
Mm-hmm. And it also by being able, like, mind mastery and like controlling your emotions, it also helps you to deal with external situations a lot better. So say if somebody does something really terrible, and rather than reacting to these things, you start to respond, and it's a better way to kind of be able to deal with things.
Well, it's funny because somebody cut me off the other day on the freeway. And instead of, like, I normally would have been like, F you, you know, and, I was just like,
I was having a bad day.
Yeah. And I was trying to point, and I'm like, it's sir, maybe you next time. Like, and he was like, wait, what is she? He was so confused. What is she doing? She's not flipping me off or something. She's actually seems to be pretty nice about it. So, it was funny just cause that's not something I would normally do. I would normally get extreme road rage at that point, but because of all of this, I'm a calmer person in general. Mm-hmm. And
and better focus too. Yeah. With whatever we're doing.
So then the last thing is you shift from a linear perspective to a quantum perspective. Mm-hmm. And what that means is when you're going about your day, you make a decision. And that has, you know, a consequence, and on and on and on and on and on. But it's a very linear thing. It happens all like in a continuum. Mm-hmm. When if you think about this on a quantum level, mm-hmm. everything is related, and everything, there's a reason and a purpose behind for, mm-hmm. you know, everything that's happening.
Uh-huh, exactly. And kind of also getting into the like quantum frame of mind, which is really just kind of accessing more of your brain and doing these things. And then you're able to start experimenting and like experiencing like astral projection or all these different like psychic phenomena, and kind of looking at how this relates to your daily life, thinking more like in terms rather than just having things be linear, you start to see connections like, oh, this happened and I felt like this before, but I wasn't sure why. But then I found out that this negative thing happened, and it's kind of, you start to make all these different connections that the past, the present, and the future, they're all sort of almost working together. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And things start to get very interesting.
Here's another funny story. story for you guys, and I'm sure none of you will believe me on this, but Ashley can verify that this absolutely happened. Mm-hmm. We were on Facebook, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, and I started to see, I was looking through old posts, and this was actually before Facebook even was in existence. Was it 2004 or something? Yeah, I believe it was like 2004. I did not have a friend named Ash. I've only had one friend named Ashley.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That was pretty strange.
And I call her Ash. And I did know a girl in high school named Ashley, but we weren't friends really after high school at all, actually. So all of a sudden, I'm looking back through my old posts, and I see going to lunch with Ash or going to PF Chang's with Ash. And I knew that I did not have a friend named Ash, and it all of a sudden appeared there. Now, how do we explain
this?
Hold on.
Actually, I have to add one more thing to that. So even funnier yet, so she looked at that, and I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So then I went back onto my Facebook timeline, and I went back to that date. And so when I was in high school, I wasn't really into spirituality or anything like that. But I went back to that day, and my post for that day was, life isn't about being a certain way. It's about creating yourself. And I'm like, okay, that is not something that I would have said back then. And that's sort of just an example of how you can influence yourself in the past, in the present moment, and how other things in your life can also influence that, and kind of like wherever you direct your focus, that's where you're directing your energy and you're influencing that.
And if you really want your minds blown, Ashley and I got into a little tiff a couple weeks ago, and so I was trying to show a friend of mine that this post had just popped up in my Facebook, and we couldn't find it. And I swear to you that it was not there. We looked back through, I think, 4 years before even, and could not find it. And, you know, Jay, he's even told you that happened.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And then once Ashley and I talked everything out and realized, you know, that we're sisters, basically, soul sisters, and it was right there again, back in the same place. So I know that's a very kind of far-fetched thing to assume that happened, but it did, and it's very real, and that's just kind of my little two cents for you guys to tell you the crazy stuff that can happen once you start doing this. Mm-hmm.
And you the just, proof you start that taking you notice of these different things and different like synchronicity, and which kind of just stems from all this, being in the right place at the right time, and being a clearer channel, so not having all these negative conscious thoughts, and that could be from like external factors or from your own mind, and kind of being able to see things a bit clearer, know like how to stay on the right path for yourself, and the highest path, the best path.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically what you should get from all of this is your set of senses perceives like a sea of energy from a limited standpoint that makes up an image from that. It's not a complete image, nor is it 100% accurate. It's just an interpretation. But all of our interpretations are solely based on this internal map of reality that we have. And it's not the real truth. Our map is the actual result of our personal life's collective experiences. So our thoughts are linked to this invisible energy, I guess, and they determine what the energy forms in your life. So your thoughts literally shift the universe on a particle by particle basis to create your physical life. Mm-hmm. And the key to all of this information is, how do you learn to see the universe differently than you do now, so that you can manifest everything you truly desire? And this is, law of attraction, great. It was, amazing discovery. But it, like I said, it falls short. So you can really have everything you desire. And we'll get into actual methodology for this later on this year. But it's just, you cannot be tied to a specific outcome of it. Just be open to the idea. And that's, reality is more plastic and changeable than we thought. You know, we are all human just magnets.
Like, just that, like with neuroplasticity and how that is basically like the brain is able to change and create new pathways, which leads to, you can then develop like healing abilities for yourself and all these different things and kind of that, how that fits in with reality.
Yeah.
It's all connected.
And, you know, my kind of my final message on this is, accept that the things that occur in your life and take responsibility for them and the emotion that is behind it and release that negative energy from controlling you, and your life will immediately begin to change. Mm-hmm. Just that. And then if you add gratitude, where you're actually thanking the universe for all of the things that have happened to you, because if you think about it, even the most negative thing, you always learn from it, don't you? You know, it's
always.
It's either
you develop wisdom.
Yep, yep. It's always a lesson, so you don't want to feel bad about it or feel like a victim, but you want to be grateful that the universe taught you that, and that you won't have to go through it again. Mm-hmm. And the universe, in turn, loves to, you know, feel like you're grateful and will reward you for that. Just the, you know, just those kind of two things, which, and they're based on love, which is what I think, and I think Ashley will agree with me, mm-hmm. Is what the psi phenomenon is, the basis and the foundation behind it all. Uh-huh. Astrology, you know, everything. Love and wanting to help mm-hmm. other people.
And love of yourself, love of mm-hmm. what you're doing. Yeah.
And one thing, Dale Sellers, who I mentioned earlier, he has a psychic project thing. And what you can do is you can go online and you can test your psychic abilities, where he will just give you a cue, and then you start to write down what you see in your mind's eye, and you know, give as much detail to it as you can, and et cetera, et cetera. And then he'll reveal the target to you. And it is amazing. It will really freak you out. I'll post the link to it, because it is free. You don't have to be a member to do this. But it's amazing to test your abilities and to see how accurate you are. Ashley and I were, minds were blown, because they were mm-hmm. so accurate. And I think you'll find that's a good way for each of you to kind of test this on your own. So I will post the link to that at the end of this. But we thank you for listening today.
And thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah. And we're really, really excited to keep bringing you guys more podcasts each week. And if you have any ideas for us or anything you'd love to hear about,
comments, and we'll consider all of them.
And yeah, and email me at kirsten@psychicbabes.com. That's kirsten@psychicbabes.com. Or Ashley is?
You can do AER@globalmindstratagem.com, and that's GlobalMindStratagem.com.
Yeah, and as always, if you guys liked it, please, do give us a like, and, the best thing you can do is send it out to your friends. We appreciate all of you, and we hope you have an amazing day.
Yep, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Adios.